Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What's Right with Men, a weekly radio program dedicated to exploring and discussing what it means to be a man in a post-feminist world. Now here are your hosts, John Freeman and Roger Wetzel.
Well, good afternoon and good evening, and welcome to all of our listeners. And hello, John.
Hello, Roger.
How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Good.
You?
I'm good, thanks. Before we get going, I want to make an announcement that today is your birthday, John. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I'd like to invite our producer, Janet, onto the call.
Hello, I'm here.
Hello, Janet.
Hello.
Hey, Janet. Let's sing happy birthday to John.
Oh, good. Are you ready?
Yeah, ready. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear John.
Dear John.
Happy birthday to you.
You.
That was really
John,
helpful, Roger.
How was it? How was your birthday day, John?
Well, I had a nice lunch out, and my birthday present is going to be a new printer because mine broke. So it's been mixed sort of day.
Well, that's good. And we won't ask you how old you are because that's a question that we don't ask people.
Okay.
But you are looking great for your age.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it is kind of tricky when you get past 80, but I'm not doing too bad.
Very good. So this show is a continuation from last week's show, and we got a little bit off track last week, but not too badly. And what was your kind of take on last week, John, if you have one? And where we left off.
Well, I don't know whether I have much of a take on it, except to say that it felt fairly incomplete, so I'm hoping that maybe we can cover a bit more ground this week.
Yeah, I'd like to get more kind of to the heart of what brought this idea of having a show about men and women's brains and are they really wired differently, and get more into that a little bit. And also, just to put out there that we will be having a third segment of the show either next week or the week after. We're not sure yet. We have a guest that we're going to be interviewing. Unfortunately, she can't do it live, so we're going to have to record it. Doing some research at the University of Chicago on, I guess, cultural influences on gender or something like that. Anyhow, so just as a reminder, what brought this idea up for me was I was reading in the Oprah magazine an article about are men and women's brains really wired differently? And it was based, I didn't know, John, on the research that was presented in that documentary or that show that on the BBC that was done at the University of Pennsylvania. And it was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And I think it was probably earlier this year. I don't know if you recall when that was.
I actually thought the research was older than that, but it doesn't matter too much. When it was certainly good research.
Yeah, and it was the basis of this short piece in the Oprah magazine. What I found fascinating in this short little interview piece in the magazine, there was a question that was asked of one of the researchers. Did the findings of your research cause a stir? And the answer was that they did. And it goes on to say, when it presented the study to the medical student, some very, and I'm quoting now, very accomplished young women came up to me close to tears. Women don't want to be seen different from men. And here we are saying that they are, and findings are the problem. The problem is that society places value on which trait is better. So that was kind of the trigger for me to present this information, because, John, I think it's really important that we understand that there are biological differences between men and women.
It certainly is, and I think it's equally important that we kind of say from the beginning that doesn't mean that there's any implications for who has higher value or who can do which jobs or anything like that. It's just that there are some differences.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it goes to this whole idea that's come out in the last, I don't know, 20 or 30 years, correct me if I'm wrong, of thinking that everybody is the same. And, you know, I don't buy it, but that's just my opinion. And, but what I'd like to do and is kind of talk about what this study found before we get into anything else, because we didn't have a chance to get to this last week. And I don't know about you, John, but I don't think that this is like any, it might be earth-shattering news to scientists. For me personally, I don't see that what the findings that these guys came up with is that earth-shattering.
Right. But it would be good. It would be good for you to start just presenting them as they are, and for what they found, because I think that would be, you know, a good starting point for the discussion.
Yeah. So here's what the study found, and it found that the neural connections in male brains, and again, they studied, I think it was like 940 some people between the ages of males and females. And what they found is that the neural connectivity from the front to the back in males, so the connectivity went from the front to the back, all right? In females, the wiring goes between the left and right hemispheres. And so their hypothesis is that ability to cross connect between hemispheres allows females to facilitate communication between the analytical and intuition. Right. And it says that for instance, on average, men are more likely better at learning and performing a single task at hand, like cycling or navigating directions, whereas women have superior memory and social cognition skills, making them more equipped for multitasking. Right. And you know, I think that if you ask most men, they're like experts at multitasking, but when it comes right down to it, it's not men that are good at multitasking, it's women. And I think that this whole idea of brain connectivity in males and females is obviously wreaking havoc in some quarters of society. And, you know, like we talked about last week, John, about behavioral determinism.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really, it's important to say that, yes, you know, the researchers have come up with some differences, and they seem to be consistent and reliable, but they're not, it's not, the way you said it, I wouldn't want people to get the impression that it's like men's wiring goes front to back and women's wiring goes side to side. It's a difference in the balance of how much of each of those kinds of wiring there are. So between the two genders, there's a difference of kind of leaning one way or another. But those differences of leaning are less than the kind of huge width of difference that there are between individuals. And so there's actually a lot of overlap and a lot of men who would be more intuitive and a lot of women who would be more kind of task-focused and linear thinking. And so it is true that there are some differences and that there are some emphases that are given in all sorts of areas to men and women or boys and girls in what their kind of tendencies and predispositions are, but none of it is kind of totally determining or even in a big way determining who people turn out to be or what they can do. It just slightly influences the range of possibilities.
Well, you know, according to what these guys are saying, and I don't know if this is kind of what you're talking about or whether it's something that you're taking a stance against or whatever, but they went on to say in this interview here that the maps show a stark difference in complementary in the architecture of the human brain that helps provide potential neural basis as to why men excel at certain tasks and women at others. Right? So, again, I mean, for me, I'm okay with that. It explains a lot. It explains why women, I don't know if I'll even agree with my own statement here, but I think it explains a lot why women think and act differently than men in some regard. And I'm not going to sit here and say that all of the differences between men and women are because of how our brains are wired, nor will I sit here and agree with these behavioral determinists who think that it's all about nurturing that causes the difference between women and men, right?
I don't think that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's all a difference in nurturing. I mean, certainly there are differences. There are differences that come from that. What I'm trying to make clear is that the differences, my perception of what makes people who they are is that there are significant pieces of who we are that we're born with,
mm-hmm.
and that are influenced either by our genetics or possibly by the hormonal balances that we're exposed to when we're developing in the womb. Whatever, we're born with them. And so it's not, when I say that there's big ranges in people, it's not that I'm trying to say that those big ranges are necessarily because of how we're raised or our culture or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that the range of differences between me and you, or you and Janet, or any of us and any other human being, the ranges of difference are bigger between individuals than they are taken between the averages of men and the averages of women.
So that's an interesting perspective. Can you talk about more about that? Because
I can. I'm sort of I can't draw the diagrams that I've got in my head, but maybe some people will be familiar with this, or I can kind of describe it at least with some sense of making meaning of it. Most when people look at kind of distributions of equality through populations, say like from the very beginning when people first mapped out differences in IQ, what you get is a graph that if you were to draw it, it looks like a bell upside down, but it's actually known as a bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
And on that bell curve, you have a kind of a point in the middle, which
is the average, right?
Which is the average, or one kind of average. And if in most qualities, if you were to draw the bell curves for a population of men and a population of women, you would get a big overlap. You were looking at the bell slightly out of focus or with double vision. So it's not that you would have one complete bell on your left and one complete bell on your right. What you would have is two bells, which one was slightly shifted to the right of the other, so that there'd be a huge overlap in the middle, and the people on one side of one of those bells would be far to the right of the people on the left of the other bell. That's what I'm trying to... I hope I'm making some sort of picture of this that people can understand. So that even though there are differences, in practice we have more in common than we do that's different. It's only the average that's different. And the overlaps can take us relative, you know, one man to one woman can take us either way. It doesn't mean that if you take one man and one woman, you will always know who is more intuitive or who is less intuitive. You won't.
That's an interesting perspective, and I agree with that last statement that you made. I think it's interesting, though, that I never heard of that before. I'm trying to wrap my brain around it, but I kind of get what you're saying. But, you know, as I was listening to you, one of the things that popped into my head is that it's not okay. You know, we live in a time now where it's not okay for differences. And I think it's kind of, I don't know, it seems to me it's kind of like why there's such some backlash to this study that these researchers did at the University of Pennsylvania, that we are more, you know, on the one hand, we are more alike than we are different, but at the same time, there's differences, right? And
yeah.
Those differences are supposed to complement one another, right? I'm not a scientist, I think it's interesting though what you're talking about, John, because there was this woman, Luanne Rizendeen. I think she was a doctor, and she wrote the Female Brain, and she talked about gender differences. Again, and I guess we have to go back to the bell curve aspect of what you're talking about, but that gender differences start before we're born, because males are male brains are flushed with testosterone and females with estrogen. And she went on and talked about, like, in teenagers, right? Which I think is really interesting. And I think in that documentary that we mentioned last week, and I'll find the name of that in a minute, that aired on the BBC, they talked about this study at the University of Pennsylvania, I think, where these connections really started showing up in teenagers. Is that correct? Do you remember that?
Well, one of the things that I think there's a couple of different studies that have come out of the University of Pennsylvania over a period of years, because you know they've got a department which kind of specializes in that. So the one that you were talking about that has to do with the what they call the connectome between, you know, the front and the back and the left and the right of brains. The research that they did there, the differences were not as strong between. They didn't really show up until the subjects were over 13, and they became more differentiated in the 14 to 17 year olds, which is, you know, probably to do with the influence of our own hormonal makeup in how the brain continues to develop. So, I mean, I don't know if they said that. That's my supposition. You know, one of the things that's really quite difficult about the science of this is it's really quite complex. There's so many different things that make us who we are. And if you you read a piece of research and they can only look at one thing at a time because that's the way research works. And then when you look at what shows up in the media, what you tend to get is the presentation of a particular highlighted nugget. And often it's kind of presented in such a way that, oh, you know, we've just shown how all the differences between men and women show up, and we've shown, you know, and what they are, when actually you've got a piece of research and it shows one piece of a complex jigsaw.
Let me give out the number for people to call in if they want to join in the conversation. It's area code 347-205-9869. That's 347-205-9869. You know, I think, John, I agree with you on the one hand that there are so many different influences on what makes us who we are. But I think also we have to go back to, and again, I'm not a scientist. I didn't get the scientific gene in my family. My brother got it. And that's, you know, he's a scientist and he could probably talk for days about this kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe I'll have him on sometime. But in the meantime, you know, I think I was telling you, I was on Netflix several months ago and I ran across this documentary and I think it was entitled something like, Are All Men Sexual Predators? Right? Like, oh, this ought to be good. So, do you remember me talking to you about that? That I was watching part of that? And some of the things that they were talking about in there were kind of what we're talking about here, and it had to do with, you know, development. Brain development, and specifically with teenagers, right? And this woman, referring back to her, the woman that wrote The Female Brain, Louanne Brizendine, she talked about how in puberty, estrogen and progesterone and testosterone continue influencing development, and that when teenage girls are flooded with estrogen and they get stressed out about relationships, and they ease their fear by coming together in groups and being socially connected. Whereas boys, when they become, when they hit teenage years, they get stressed around challenges to their independence and authority, and then there becomes that whole competition and conflict thing, right? But one of the things that I was watching in that Netflix documentary was saying that from, I think when puberty hit, that, what is that, like 12 or 13, I don't know, but till like 16, that the female brain is, I think, fully developed or something. Whereas a male, the males, they're not, are much more mature. They mature by the time they're like 16. Males mature by the time, like in their mid-20s, right? And the reason that they said that is because for males, that's a period of physical growth. So all of the energy is consumed by growing physically, and then the brain and the mental aspect of it comes later on. And my point to that is that, again, we're not biologically, we are the same, but there's huge differences that I see.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Or do you have any? You there?
I'm hesitating because it's a question of what, you know, what those differences are. Yes, there is a kind of a general truth that I think you're pointing to, that the development process is delayed in males. For the reasons that you're describing, there's probably an evolutionary reason for that. That, you know, the women would be kind of fertile and ready to rear a family earlier, whereas men needed, you know, if you're talking about our not human history but pre-human and primate history, that the males needed to continue to develop their hunting and foraging, if you were to look at our closest relatives in the great apes. So yes, there is a tendency for that. It's kind of the weighting is different now. The amount of weight that is applied to those differences is altered by the fact that our society now kind of delays the process, and because there's more of an impulse socially for women to do development in other areas than those which make them ready for child rearing, because that's what they want and that's what they can do, and you know, why not? So there's a kind of a predisposition which is in our genes and our evolution. But again, my perception is that how much weight is given to that. The biggest perception that I have about human brains is what scientists usually use the term plasticity. Brains are the most phenomenally versatile and changeable organs. You know, even if you look at the way that you can have, let's say, a female gymnast who is incredibly skilled and specialized in the kind of motor coordination skills that people would say, well, that's a predisposition for men. Well, you know, you compare one of those female Olympic gymnasts with me, and I know which one has more development in that area, and it's not me. And so, you know, everything that you look at, there's a certain amount of what we're kind of predisposed to, and there's just a huge amount of what we can develop. You know, the people will choose that they want to play the piano, and they will become fantastic at playing the piano, whether they're men or women, and that much of the wiring that is developed in the brain is laid down in the process of practicing and thinking about practicing and thinking about music and listening to music. And it's kind of that to me is where the big action is.
I agree with you to a point, and what I agree with you is that there is, you know, in certain people there are predispositions to excel at certain things, right? I totally believe that, and I think for me, the most glaring example of that shows up in sport and the ability to do certain things, like you're talking about a female gymnast, right? Or, I mean, if you take, I don't know, take 9 boys at 13 years old, and you have them practice playing baseball 7 days a week, 7 hours a day. The chances of all 9 of them becoming professionals is infinitesimal.
Yep.
And the one that does is going to have physical abilities and skills that are absolutely like off the chart, right? And I remember listening to a radio interview several years ago with what are the doctors that operate on your eyes? Ophthalmologist or
optometrist. Or eye surgeons, I guess.
Yeah. So there's this guy was being interviewed on. He worked for several teams in Major League Baseball. And you know, I think we all live in a delusional world of everyone, you know, that whole idea everyone is the same, or everyone is the same, and we all have these ideas that have been passed on to us, that, and one of them is that 20/20 vision is perfect vision, right? So this guy was being interviewed about what makes a person that plays baseball a great hitter versus an average hitter. The numbers where someone who has 20, 15 or below, like 2015, 2013, 2014, 2012 vision, that person will be a very, very, an excellent hitter, an excellent batter in Major League, because they can see the ball, they can see the threads of the ball rotating and the way that, and all of those kind of things, right? And I remember listening to this going, holy shit, man, are you kidding me? First of all, I thought 20/20 vision was excellent. This is the best, right? And so you're talking about like these biological differences that there's nothing that, and in fact, there's not even an operation that you can do to get your vision that good. So I guess that's my point. But, you know, I'd like to actually have Janet come back into this conversation, because, John, you have 2 sons and I have a daughter, and I want to get somebody's opinion or observation that had a different experience.
You mean because I have 2 girls and 2 boys? I split the difference?
Yes, you did. And I think it would be interesting for you to like share your experiences raising sons and raising daughters, and if you notice any kind of difference beyond just like the nurturing aspect of it. Like, was there some kind of genetic, biological, you know? You've been listening to the show. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting because one of the things that I said was that I would never, if I had had the boys first, I would never have gone on to have the girls because they were such different creatures from the two girls. And I had the girls first, and then I had a certain set of expectations about, you know, what the next two would be, and they blew me away because they're just... They think completely differently. They act and behave completely differently. And, of course, that threw me. I wasn't prepared for that. I knew how my girls were going to go, you know, and prepare for things. Now, the girls, of course, became much more difficult as they got into their teenage years and, you know, had the whole periods and all of that emotional turmoil. They became more difficult then. But the boys, as teenagers, were a breeze. So there's probably something to be said about the whole idea of, for instance, boys develop slower in utero. And if a boy is born premature, there are likely going to be more issues, particularly around breathing, than if a girl is premature. And I experienced that because my oldest son was born 5 weeks premature. And the doctors were like, well, if he was a girl, he wouldn't have had this issue because they develop slower in utero. They have the more, especially in the breathing and the heart capacity, because that's developing. They have a greater physical capacity for that, and so it takes longer to develop. But girls, on the other hand, have a much quicker read on language and reading. Both of my girls talked younger than the two boys did. So there's definitely an experience of having noticed the differences between the two. And, you know, I can surely tell you that it's not that I valued one over the other. It was just like raising two different, completely two different animals because they were just so different. But the experience wasn't, negative or anything like that. It was just different, and I had to honor all of that difference between the two sets. But I just knew that, you know, my boys, when they were younger, certainly did things that my girls would never have thought of doing. For example, peeing on trees out in public. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Blowing up shit.
Blowing up stuff. My
son
tried to poison me. He poured, you know, let's experiment. Let's see if I pour this soap in mom's water, if I can, you know, create a reaction. My girls would never have done things like that, but they think differently. And I think there's something to be honored in all of that. But certainly gave me pause.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go back to something else you guys were talking about. You know, the studies that people do on gender is really doing a disservice to the totality of who a human being is. Because, I mean, although there may be certain characteristics that we identify as feminine or masculine, there's so much more to the sum total of a person. And I think, you know, you said it best when you said, you know, you take nine boys and you teach them baseball 7 hours a day, and what was it you said, you know, maybe one becomes a pro baseball player, and there's a very good reason for that, because maybe the other sets of them did not care one whit about baseball, right?
Well, I think that it could be true, but I think, you know, it's like I knew two brothers, right? One was so gifted and didn't give a shit, and the other one had the passion and the desire but didn't have the natural ability, right? But what I was saying in that example was if you took nine boys of equal talent at a certain age, the likelihood of even one of them developing the skills that are required to do what is being done is very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it goes back to my whole thing is, you know, if we're, there's this whole idea out there that if we're all the same, right? That we all have the same gifts, that we all have the same this, that we're, you know, if it was like gender neutral in the way that we were raised and we were all presented with the same thing, we're all the same. And I don't buy it. And it's like the reason I don't buy it, and I'll use this example forever, is if that's true, then I should be able to play golf like Tiger Woods. And I can't. And I never have been, and I never will.
The thing for me in this is that it's almost like I'm a little bothered by the amount of attention that's gone into even asking these questions over the years, and the amount of scientific research that's gone into it, because there's a little bit of, well, okay, you can show that there's differences in wiring, or you can show that there is a contribution of biology. There's no question of that, and that if you take a population of men and a population of women, the men will be better at judging the size of something by what it sounds like, and women will be better at remembering things where things are. You know, that will show up as an average in the population, that men will be better at three-dimensional thinking, and that women will be better at colors, which partly has to do with how sex hormones alter the development of the visual cortex. You know, all these things will be true, and they're all kind of, in a way, relatively trivial. I mean, actually, the ones that Janet was talking about are the ones that are possibly the least trivial, which is to do with differences in temperament and thinking styles, which probably the hardest ones to do research on, and they're not the ones where I've seen the most research. I mean, things like, yes, girls read earlier on average, that shows up in research, and that in research it will also show up that women are on average better at kind of identifying emotions. If you show pictures of people in particular emotional states, or if you show little video clips of people in emotional states, women will in general perform slightly better on that. But so I mean, all these things are there, and we were talking last week about the research that came from Hines and Alexander years and years ago about the vervet monkeys, and that if you put the dolls and the trucks out there, you know, the male monkeys would be more fascinated by the things with wheels, and they'd want to make the wheels spin, and the female monkeys would go and play with the dolls. So I mean, that's all there, but having said all of that, I have a desire to say, well, and then so what? Because everything that you're saying about, well, there'll be one Tiger Woods in you know, several tens of millions of men, and there'll be lots of men who are really trying to get good at golf and who can't get their handicap down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for me is the kind of, that's the reality, and that's the reality that's more significant and more important most of the time than gender. I think the emotional stuff is possibly the most interesting stuff, you know, what Janet was bringing out, and some of what actually shows up in relationships, in how we handle emotions and how we're, you know, how our focus is go typically between men and women. That's one of the areas that's most different and most interesting to know about in differences, because it actually has more impact on our lives than who's going to be brilliant at sport or playing the piano or even good at programming computers.
Yeah, I agree with that, what you're saying, but I also think it's part of the conversation that needs to be had, because, you know, again, last week we talked this whole idea out there, and again, I refer back to that BBC show, and John, I don't know if you remember the name of it, where they talked about, you know, the cultural, you know, they walked into the toy store and the woman was like railing against, why do we have to have pink for girls and blue for boys? I don't know. And you know what, for me, it's if people want to worry about that, that's fine, right? But there's that whole argument, and again, it goes back to the whole concept of duality. It has to be either this influence or that influence. But very rarely do you hear people talking about saying, you know what, it's both biological and it's both nurturing, right? And when we talk about, you know, I shared a link with John with you this morning about the interview with Katie Couric and Jazz, and I'll put that on our Facebook page, the link to that. But it was, just briefly, it was at an interview with she 11 or 13? John, do you remember? I think she was 13 in that interview.
I think she's 13 now, but I mean,
now.
You know, but it goes back to when she was kind of
right.
Less than two,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah, so this is I think that, you know, we can there can be those that'll argue that the influences of who we are as human beings and how we act and who we choose to be comes from the culture, comes from society, and comes from nurturing. But I'll put this out. I'll put two things out there that will really put a damper on that kind of view of who we come to be as human. And in this interview, Katie Couric is talking to a 13-year-old who was the youngest person to actually come out. What was it? Oh, God, I can't remember.
To be diagnosed as having kind of gender
dysphoria.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's 3 or 4, 5. She, this boy, biological boy, that was diagnosed with gender dysphoria, and she's from, I think, 5, lived as a girl. Now, this couple that the parents of Jazz have 3 older kids. I think a daughter and twin boys or something. But the point is that if nurturing was the cause of us behaving and becoming men and women in our perspective, then why weren't the older ones transgender, and why just the youngest one? But I have a friend.
Absolutely. I mean, there's you know, I mean. Oh, just to complete your thought on the BBC program, it was from a series called Horizon, and I don't know whether it's easy to get hold of from the States, but it should still be on the BBC iPlayer for anybody who can find their way into that. And it was called Is Your Brain Male or Female? So it's pretty much the same subject we're talking about. And, you know, I thought they did a good job of sort of having a male and a female presenter with different points of view and coming to the conclusion that they were sort of that they were both right, and so they presented some of the same ambiguity that we are. But coming off that and talking about this gender thing, you know, I have a son who is gay, and there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that, you know, that has nothing to do with how he was raised, and he's not even, you know, he's not even a kind of somebody you would know when you met him necessarily. That, you know, he's not a particularly feminine gay. He just happens to have a sexual preference. And there's huge numbers of twin studies on identical twins, in which one of the twins turns out to be gay and the other one doesn't. So the evidence, you know, it's really interesting. I do recommend that people watch the Jazz Jennings clip when you post it, because it's just fascinating to see her, and you know, watching it, you can't help, you don't have a choice but to think of her as her. She's not one of those kind of transgender people that you look at and you can kind of see that there's something that's slightly kind of, you're not sure what you're looking at here. There's no, you know, there's, because they're all sorts, and there are some who don't come across with that clarity. She comes across with just 100% clarity of who she is, and she looks and feels the part. And it's worth kind of watching her both to experience that and to hear the self, you know, how self-possessed she is and how much she understands herself. And this is, you know, this is a really quite a remarkable human being in all sorts of ways.
Right.
But,
well,
you know,
I saw her.
So
I saw her interview.
Watching, but it's not new. It's not new. We've known, you know, we've known this for generations, or for decades at least, around gays and what causes people to be gay. For those who wanted to see the truth of that, and there were a lot of people who didn't want to see the truth of that.
Right. I, the reason I was laughing earlier when you said about transgender people and you weren't sure what you were looking at, I mean, I have a friend who is by the name of Jessica, and I've known her for probably 4 years, 3-4 years. And when I met Jessica was a man named Jeff. And it was a really interesting experience for both of us, because it was, when it came out, it was something that she talked about. It's like from when she was 4 years old, she knew she was a girl in a boy's body. And it took her till she was 40 years old to actually own that and actually make the decision that if she didn't make that switch, that she would have killed herself. And it was interesting. And so, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but the point I think that we're both trying to make here is that, you know, there's on the one side, there's this argument of, hey, everything that we are as human beings is influenced by our culture and by the way that we're raised. And, you know, if you're a male, then you play with trucks and guns. And if you're a female, you play with dolls and whatever, right? There's so much more to it. You know, there is a biological aspect. There is a, you know, a spiritual aspect to this. There is a cultural aspect of this. There is no doubt about any of that. So, you know,
they interact
absolutely.
If there's a basic thing that, you know, that monkeys or humans, that the boys will be drawn to the trucks, then that becomes part of the culture because it's in the expectation. So you can then do experiments like they actually did on that BBC program, which showed that people start to condition children because of the expectations that they have about. Mm-hmm. So it becomes it, it becomes very difficult to separate the two, because, you know, you can make people look stupid by leaving them with a child who they've been told is a girl but actually was a boy, and they start trying to get them to play with the dolls, and you make the people look like they're stupid and prejudiced. Well, no, they're not. They're also, they know instinctively what the biology is, and they're responding to what they know about that as well. It's not just simply some kind of cultural prejudice. So you can't separate the two out.
Correct.
And maybe the thing that's most important to me in this whole discussion is, you know, why did we start this program? It was because there's a whole lot of stuff that's out there in the world which is trying to make the way we look at people, the way we look at men and women and gender and society and what should be done, they're trying to make it be about the differences between men and women, instead of being about the difference between individual human beings. And
there's big money in having an adversary.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
there's a lot of political capital, and for understandable
right.
historical reasons, it's just can we get off it now? You know, can we put that into history? Can we put the war between women, men and women, and the requirement for equality? Can we just say, okay, that's done. We accept that's what we need. And now can we look at how to create real equality between human beings based on who they are and not on their gender any more than we think we should be doing on the basis of their color of their skin or their sexual orientation or anything else? It's time to bury that shit.
Well, touche. I agree with that. So, coming down to the end of the show, we have a couple of minutes left. And again, I think that we're going to be doing an interview with Laura Burns, I think, John, over the weekend, that will play either next week or maybe the week after, depending on our schedule. That and she is looking at the influence of culture on gender, I believe it is. So it'll be interesting conversation that we'll have to share with her in the next couple of weeks. But I haven't done this segment for a couple of 3 weeks, and so I found this article today on Huffington Post. And this guy actually probably will get douche of the year, but I'm not sure yet. He's a doctor. Yesterday he came out and called for an American jihad. And he believes that everyone that doesn't believe in the U.S. Constitution and freedom is our enemy. And so we need to now go out across the world and make everybody live under the U.S. Constitution and have freedom and justice for all. So I just
okay.
So good luck.
Good luck with that.
Good luck to him and his efforts. And as you know, as someone just Skyped in and said, because that works so well here, we're going to export it everywhere else. So anyway,
I'm British. I'm neutral.
Oh, hey, you're not getting away with it. We're getting revenge. Just watch out. Anyhow, any closing comments?
No, I think I've said all I want to say right now.
Okay, good. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll look forward to next week's show. And any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at writeaboutman@gmail.com. Leave a message on our Facebook page at What's Right About Men. And we have a website, writeaboutmen.com, that you can leave a comment there as well. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in, and to everyone next week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.